fighting for America. Fighting for Idaho.
They asked us to try to get three people to vote for the bond, and so I was trying to do my part.
The multi-million dollar bond would build two middle schools and an elementary school, remodel and expand Meridian High, and buy property where another school can be built in the future.
Fighting for you.
One had to hire an attorney to write a letter to force them off her property, and the other one had to get her big burly neighbor to come down and basically threaten them.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Good morning. Phone numbers 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Coming up this week, Bibi Netanyahu makes a run. We also have a possible ban on ammunition. Idaho debates the minimum wage. And, oh, yes, our friend Dave Petso. But if you had a life this weekend and enjoyed the great weather, already people running around and getting fit, so be careful about that, number one. Number two, this is a bill I think I can get behind, that in the Idaho legislature, finally they're going to do something. Forget education. Forget funding the internet. Forget guns. We're looking at possibly getting rid of daylight savings time. And I've debated this for many years, because you that work the zombie hours, the hours of the Walking Dead, know how difficult, know how traumatic, know how rough summer is going to be. And DTS, what is it, daylight, or is it DST? DST, not to be confused with STD. DST, daylight savings time, accounts for over 30 weeks of our calendar year. So coming up in March and ending in November, the days are going to be long. So if you like hiking, if you like running, if you like bike riding, if you like doing everything else, hey, March is your time. March is your season. And now people are saying that if you get rid of daylight savings time in Idaho, then all of a sudden you're going to have us with the same, we're going to be in, what is it, Pacific time zone most of the year, or all of the year, and not only Pacific time zone, but the North Country is going to be in Mountain time zone, and you know, you drive one way and it's going to be, they're going to be, or Central time zone. I don't know how they've figured out or disfigured it out, but the idea of not having to fall back and spring forward, A, I'm in favor of it, and B, just a point of concern, it's going to be time to hike in spring, and as our friend Dave Petso, I like to golf. Good for you, Dave Petso. Very tough to get to bed at 8 o'clock at night when it's as bright as it is as noon on a summer day. So that having been said, oh, look and behold, it's Dave Petso, everybody.
Good to see you, Kevin.
Good to see you.
So it's all about you is what you're saying.
Hey, it's all about myself and the people that have to work these insane hours. Now, you know, you do your glorious little guest appearance here, your little well-tailored, well-mannered, well-dressed view on Channel 7. I mean, the rest of us, look at me. Does it look like I get up at 3 in the morning every day? I would say yes. Yeah. The side effects are kicking in. So now I will have to, you know, that's a serious topic. Forget the budget.
Yeah.
Forget the internet. Forget minimum wage.
No.
We're talking eliminating daylight savings time.
And this has gone on my whole life.
And what say you?
I said, leave it alone.
So you like the spring and the fall kind of thing?
Sure, I guess I'm used to it. Yeah, why not? I like daylight savings time all the time.
Yes, I'm sure you do, because you can golf at 10 o'clock at night.
I don't golf at 10 o'clock at night, but you're right, we could. Yeah, we
can. I have my sources.
Yeah.
And if it isn't true, I'll just make it up anyway.
That's right.
What everybody else does.
Of course, right.
All right, Dave Petso with us, Petso Financial, Petso Center, Money Matters, Saturdays 8 to 10. So our friend Matt Erpelding, state representative, along with his Senate Democrat colleagues, have decided to look at pushing the minimum wage to $9.25 in Idaho. Now, will it go anywhere? Most likely it won't. However, we've talked about this when Seattle did this, when Washington did it, when Oregon did
right.
it. Heck, the almighty New York Times did a story on how Idaho is lacking behind its brothers and sisters in the Northwest. Your thoughts?
I think the market will take care of itself. I started, as you did, as a teenager with minimum wage jobs. So did many of our listeners that, you know, the bottom line is it's an opportunity job. It's not a permanent job. And I'm not sure why we have to determine what pay will be with very low skilled labor. It's just these are starter jobs, and people want to work their way up, get more training and experience, and that we don't pay minimum wage. Even Walmart, you know, with a great announcement they made here a couple weeks ago, Kevin, with they're going to pay their starting people a little bit more money. That's great. But the fact of the matter is their average pay was already at $14 an hour, or $12.50 or something like that, because as people gain skills, they quickly advance. So I don't think we need to be fussing around the edges with minimum wage laws.
Dave Petzo with us. Kevin Miller in the morning here, 580 KIDO. What would it do to businesses?
Well, it can. In some certain cases, it's certainly going to be anti-job. This is not hard to understand. If you if you have the ability to pull up to a place and order something, you know, through the little box, right, through the drive-thru, well, why doesn't a machine take your order?
Right.
This is voice recognition. Siri knows, you know, I pop on here and Siri will, I'll say, you know, find the nearest taco stand, and it'll do that. I don't have to type it in. It does it. So it's not difficult to see, as we push minimum wages higher, that we'll just simply replace them with machines.
Won't we see that people. Already, though?
We are to a degree, Kevin. We're just going to enhance that. There's no reason why at McDonald's they need all those people there to take orders and things like that. We'll just give it to a machine. Why don't you just type it in if you want to? Type in your own order. And those types of things are going to continue, as if machines are cheaper, then that is my, you know, I believe that the businesses will answer it that way.
If that's the case, where are going to be the entry-level employee opportunities for kids today?
There won't be. There absolutely will not be. Because then we're, you know, again, I think it's detrimental to society to not have people at entry, have the ability to go get entry-level jobs. If, for example, every job out there was a, quote, living wage, whatever that is, I don't know what that is. But, you know, there needs to be some czar in charge of living wage and what that might look like. If that's the case, then you have every single position out there has a living wage. You won't have any opportunities for starter wages, starter jobs. How do people get experience in the first place?
Dave Petzo with us, 580KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Let's talk a little bit about the local economy here in Idaho. Obviously, the legislature debating bills and debating education. How crucial is it? We hear it from the politicians and the educational activists all the time, that we have good schools, that we have a good infrastructure, that we have, you know, that is a draw. Is that really a draw for people coming to Idaho, or is it, you know, the roads and the bridges?
That's all the above. It's a lifestyle. It's the fact that we live right next to the mountains, which really the politicians, thank goodness, can't do anything about. Thank goodness they also can't do anything about the most incredible four-season climate. Politicians can't ruin that. So it is what it is, and that all of it draws people in. Kevin, my problem, of course, with all of this is that the answer all the time to a broken program, whenever government deals with it, is we need more money. It's not that it's broken and we need to try to figure out how to fix it. The answer always is we need more money. It's not broken, we just need more money. It's not broken, we just need more money. Government always needs more money. That somehow, in the mind of a liberal, is how we fix everything. It's absolutely absurd. Nobody would think in business, hey, you know, this isn't working for us. Well, you know, hey, you know, boss, I have an idea over here. Let's spend more money on it. I mean, you want to lose your job? Why don't you suggest a money-losing or a problematic area needs more money in your business? And I'm pretty sure that your future will be diminished. But government thinks only that way, Kevin. So I don't think the answer for education is more money. I think the answer for education we're working on, which is many different experiments with all these charter schools, different ways to teach kids. They don't all work perfectly, but the kids are smarter today than they've ever been. So some of the things that we're doing are right. And the point is just saying we need more money is just typical government.
All right, much more coming up with Dave Petzo here. Let's go to Gordon in Meridian with Kevin Miller and Dave Petzo at 580 KIDO. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning. Yes, what's really struck me about the minimum wage is it's really worse than that. When you have your daughter who's a senior in college and they can't work 40 hours a week, because the employer has to give them medical insurance, even though they're covered underneath my medical insurance. And so then they aren't able to work full-time just for a summer job anymore.
Well, you're right. There are so many ramifications for the entire labor market whenever government steps in. Because, again, so often, and certainly with this administration, I do believe this to be a true statement. It certainly has been, and I believe it still is the case, that there is nobody in the administration that's ever held a job or run a business at all. Not at all. So how would they have any comprehension of what you might do and how you might react to the fact that if you have 35 hours or some arbitrary number, 37, 40, 31, that's why we have so many part-time jobs in this country, is because they try to keep from violating the rules. And as you point out, now I have to provide health care. Well, I don't want to provide health care for a part-time job, a seasonal job, those types of things. It's difficult.
And now the government's even saying, well, maybe we should lower the full-time to 30 hours a week.
Well, they have on the health care side, yes. And now they're actually trying, Republicans, now that they have the Congress back, are trying to push that higher. So that will be very, very helpful to say, no, full-time is maybe 35 hours. I don't know. But at least they're making some inroads on that. But you bring up a very good point. Businesses will react to the stupidity of bureaucrats, to the overriding regulations of government. They either will cut jobs, they will cut hours, but they will react. And also, in many cases, unfortunately, they just simply won't start businesses.
Yes. Hey, thanks for taking my call.
All right, Gordon, thank you for the call. At 580KIDO, let's go to Liberal Steve, Kevin Miller, Dave Petzo. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen. Mr. Petzo, how can you sit there and you made the statement, all liberals want to do is raise taxes?
No, I didn't say that. I did not say that. I said they want to spend money.
Well, how do they spend money? They want to raise taxes. That's implying that. The governor of this state steps into office for what, the third term, and the first thing he does is wants to put a tax on gas and take away any minimum wage raise that they got. I mean, people don't look at that. As soon as petroleum goes up, their wages go down. I mean, it's just like a cut in wages every time it goes in. He wants to slap a tax on it. So a blanket statement like that, with inflation, you do need to raise money. And with the Pentagon that needs billions of dollars to live, they need money. So, and Reagan raised taxes more than anybody else, any president yet. So it's
no, actually he didn't. He cut taxes more than any president yet. You might want to look that up.
No, he didn't. He did not. That's
no, it, when he cut taxes, then the revenues exploded. You might check that. But revenues exploded just like they did when Kennedy lowered tax rates. They also had receipts exploded because it's pro-business, it's pro-work, it's rewarding people for their efforts. People work harder, longer hours. That's exactly what happened with Kennedy. It's exactly what happened with Reagan, but one, of course, a Republican and one a Democrat.
I'm really sorry to say this, but, you know, that's a bunch of BS. Americans work hard. Americans work harder than any other individual out there.
I didn't say they didn't. They certainly do. I'm not sure what you're saying.
Welcome to my world. Do you have anything else?
Yeah, the 70s, the 80s, and 90s, all we did was ship jobs overseas.
And who was the president in the 90s? Who was the president in the 90s?
Clinton.
Exactly.
Getting more done before sunrise than anyone. Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning with us, Dave Petzo, as we continue on. So we take a look at, we're halfway through two-thirds way through the first quarter. Your thoughts?
If we separate out two things here, let's take a look at let me make it three things. Globally, a turnaround. Seriously, it really feels overseas a whole lot better. Europe, which was the, you know, everybody was very concerned. Forget about Greece. It's, you know, again, I've said this many times, 11 million people, it's just not that big a deal. And it will be resolved. But the point here is that they seem to be showing signs of growth over there. And that also coupled with the fact that they've done the austerity piece that the United States has not done. And I know, Kevin, you and I have talked about this a few times. Watch Europe over the next 10 years versus the U.S. Everybody, I think, has it completely backwards where they're saying watch the U.S. versus the rest of the world because we're stronger. We have got to deal with the imbalance in our budget, the social programs, all those things. Europe has done that. The question is, will they backpedal and go back to the socialist nations that they were before and ruin the gains they've made? I don't know that, but it feels to me like they're really making a turnover there economically. So that, to me, is the big story so far this year globally, is Europe's doing much, much better than people thought they would be doing. The second piece, of course, is that our market is nearing all-time highs again, or right at it, and the NASDAQ is on fire. That's the tech stocks. February, okay, in spite of all the bad news, all you do is pick up the paper, bad news, bad news, bad news everywhere. It is bad news everywhere. Because that's what they report, is what's wrong in the world. Get this, we had the second best month. All right, we had the best month in 2 years. The very best month in 2 years in February, up 5.5%. So, Kevin, the market's doing well, and Europe seems to be going better. So, finally, I'll say that the overall economy in the U.S. is okay. I'm not going to say it's really good. I think there's a lot of people giving it way too much credit. I don't think it's going as well as some of the, you know, most bullish on the economy are saying. But, of course, those that are waiting for the end of the world, part 743, are going to have to wait again. It just isn't ending yet.
You know, over the weekend we had the audition round at CPAC. You had Sarah Palin, Chris Christie, Rand Paul, Ted Cruz, Jeb Bush. A lot of folks trying to make the play to be the Republican nominee. The election, what, 22, 28 months out? The primary is 11 months out. What does this mean economically to have a Republican in the White House as opposed to Barack Obama?
Again, if it's a Republican that has business experience, I think it's real world experience. Then I think that you have a night and day difference. But where people are going to be looking at it, I think they look in the wrong places. And that is with all of the agencies that are out there. We look at what's going on with the Obama can't get his policies passed, so he has extreme progressive, extreme liberals running all the agencies. And the only way that we can stop them has been through the courts. I mean, several of them on the labor front have had court case after court case just tossed. Because the agencies are so, so liberal. And that's really what you end up doing. But we really do need a Republican of any kind in there to get these progressive super liberals out. That's the biggest problem out there, because most of government is run by the agencies, not by the presidency. So, I'd love to see pro-business, but regardless, Kevin, the difference, especially if the Republicans retain the House and the Senate, could be absolutely incredible by repealing so much of this garbage that's layered onto businesses. We could really have an economic renaissance, as you and I have talked many, many times. Just getting government a little bit out of the way of people, we will have an incredible renaissance.
Dave Pezzo with us here. What should we be looking out for this week? We've got the new Galaxy S6 and S6 Edge coming out. When we're talking about technology, Netflix with its big House of Cards 3 premiere blowing up, net neutrality could cause some concerns there. What are you looking out for this week?
You know, we're really kind of in this quiet period right now where earnings season is past and there really isn't a lot going on. And we kind of saw that in the markets, right? They're really dull. There's not a lot of volatility. I'm not looking for any big surprises, Kevin. And of course, the market can and will come up with its own surprises. But with energy prices bouncing right around that $50 a barrel number, we're not seeing that. Is it collapsing? Is it right? We're just seeing a whole lot of dull right now. I don't think that there's a lot of news out there right now. I'll talk to you next week, and we'll probably have two or three things we can talk about because things will come up. But I don't really think there's anything on the horizon this week other than the jobs numbers. The market always focuses on it, at least for Friday. So we'll have one day of Friday that could be pretty volatile.
And final thought, Costco getting rid of American Express, going with Visa and Citi.
That's big to American Express. That is huge.
You're a Costco guy.
I'm a Costco guy. I like Costco.
I could see you at Costco with like two carts loaded up so you don't have to go there for 6 months or something like that.
For a single guy, you know, Kevin, it's not really, even if I'm shopping for the office, I only need one cart.
Right.
Okay. I only need one cart for all my stuff for a long time, but you're right. Yeah. And everything's Costco size. So anyway, yes. And they're very innovative, creative. I don't know what happened there. That's a big deal to American Express. That's a huge loss for American Express. And from a stock investment perspective, American Express, they're going to have to restate what's going on and what direction they're moving, because this is a big, big hit.
Dave Pezzo, Money Matters, Pezzo Center, Pezzo Financial. Catch him all the time and on Twitter and on Facebook.
I'm following in your footsteps, buddy. I am. I'm trying to tweet and all that good stuff. Yeah.
Dave Pezzo on Twitter, Pezzo Financial. Thank you.
Thanks, Kevin.
You're listening to 580 KIDO.
Treasure Valley's exclusive home for Kevin Miller. KIDOAM.com. 580 KIDO. Idaho's place to talk.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men.
Men, 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 manly men.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller with you this morning. Dave Burnett, the Manly Man segment. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Kevin.
So, you know, one of the things that happens when you're hired at a place, one of the first things that people give you is a corporate email. Exactly.
There it is.
And when you're working for a said corporation, you're pretty much required to use the corporate email. Now, some people around here at the broadcast center that we've worked with, they have rebelled, and it seems kind of weird, but in the end, usually your Outlook just goes to whatever email you put in. Now, with the government, I guess it's a little different, and that explains why Hillary Clinton's in some hot water. Imagine that, Hillary Clinton in hot water because she did not use an official State Department-sanctioned email for the 4 years that she was Secretary of State.
She didn't even have one.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. I would be interested to talk to a federal employee. I think that'd be grounds for termination.
Well, what if you're the boss?
She's not.
She was the boss.
No, she was not.
The Secretary of State, she was head of the State Department.
She had a boss above her.
Yeah, but she was the boss of the State
Department. Of that department. But, yeah, I mean...
Yes, she was the boss.
I think Barack Obama is the boss. Of that department.
Do you have a boss here?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah, you.
No, you'd know if I was your boss.
Why is that?
You just would.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't think I'm doing a very good job, do you?
I'm just insane when it comes to that. But regardless of that, let's get back to...
Hillary?
Yes.
Yeah, she does have a boss, which is a president. But I would love to talk to a federal employee to see that if they did not use their federal email address for official work, I would think that's grounds for termination.
Right. However, to explain things to everybody, as Dave said, for 4 years, Hillary Clinton did not use an official State Department sanctioned email from the department, so her records were not recorded in a government server, and she did do official business on that, and apparently that is in violation of the law. Not only we're talking human relations, but we're talking the law. And Hillary Clinton's spokesperson said this morning that she worked within the letter and the spirit of the law. When somebody says the spirit of the law, Dave, what does that mean to you?
It means I'm covering my butt. That's all that means. I did that within the spirit of the law. I'm just covering my hind end here.
Right.
That's all that means. They're covering their tail.
So here we have another Clinton campaign, allegedly. She's supposed to declare next month. And another Clinton scandal.
Yeah, I mean, I would think that anyone that is opposing her in the Democrat primary will have more ammunition than they need to shoot her down. I would think any of the Dems who's going to run against her, whether it's Joe Biden or whoever it might be, that they would if they aren't. I mean, there's been a gift given to them.
Right, but again, the Clintons control the media, and how many people will pick this up? And then you're going to have James Carville being hauled out and his walker going, well, who cares? It's Republican law. It's all about the Republicans. This is a witch hunt. Look, the Secretary of State, the junior senator of New York, the First Lady, hasn't she been through enough? Whitewater, Ken Starr, Monica Lewinsky.
I just don't know. I don't know if that's going to fly.
I mean, that is fairly arrogant, though. Generous. I mean, look, you're supposed to have, and to me it seems like you're a sneak.
She knows the rules. I mean, she was the First Lady. She's been a senator. And now, you know, she was a federal employee. She knows the rules.
And to your point, her boss let her get away with it.
Absolutely. Just looked the other way. Because you don't think he sent her emails? I mean, you know, Hillary@gmail.com.
Hillary@gmail.com.
Whatever her email address was she was using. I mean, so the president sent her emails at a non-government website, email site. You know he did. Hillary2016@gmail.com.
Yep.
So.
But it begs the question when you're talking about the Clintons one more time, again and again and again. Another scandal. By the way, do you hear the latest concerning Bill Clinton and his official portrait?
No. Miss this one.
Yeah. So apparently there's a new portrait in the National Museum of Art. And in it, there's allegedly the shadow of a blue dress.
No.
And the Clintons allegedly are mad at it. The artist said, well, you know, it kind of... scandal defined his presidency and
overshadowed the presidency, as it were.
Yes, exactly. And you know, so now they're trying to remove it and everybody's mad. So Monica still lives. Monica.
Poor lady.
You know, I was watching a YouTube series. You ever watch those YouTube series? Apparently they're the new thing now where you have people just create YouTube series. It's like Dave Burnett camping. Dave Burnett walking the hall. Dave Burnett.
Yeah, that's stuff people really want to
do. I was going to say uncensored, but that would be gimmick infringement.
Yeah, that's your gimmick.
Yeah. So I'm watching this series, and it's funny because I'm reading USA Today, and they go, hey, coming out on the web, this in from YouTube, the YouTube series or whatever. And I go, okay. The YouTube series. So it's a series about Monica. And it's about Monica Lewinsky post-scandal.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the dumbest thing I saw.
Why did you spend time with it?
I wanted to see what everybody was talking about.
By the way, trying to find that portrait, very difficult to do.
Really?
Yeah.
I saw it yesterday.
I'm trying to find it online. I can't find it. I see stories about it, but no pictures of it. They couldn't have scrubbed the internet already, could they?
I don't know. It was on Drudgy. But anyway, so we've got that. And so I'm watching these internet series, and that's the new thing. And then there was another one where the people were making fun of, and this is kind of goes to our poll question at 580kido.com. You know, should SNL make fun of ISIS? Vote now. But they were making fun of, you know, going back to 1990s. And it's from these comedian guys, these college comedy or something. And so I'm watching it, and they go, would you go back to the 90s? And if you went back to the 90s, could you stop 9/11? And then they go, no, you have to stop 9/11. And then they said, you've got to kill Muhammad Atta. And then you've got to do this, and you've got to do that. And you've got to save millions of Americans. And they go, ah! And to me, again, there are some things, just like some words you don't say, that you just don't make fun of. And the whole gimmick was, this guy went back to the 90s. He killed Muhammad Atta, hijacked a plane to beef up security, and saved thousands of American lives and spent the rest of his life in prison, all in about 4 minutes. And they had this weird, creepy guy playing a guitar. I go, yeah, man! And again, if this is entertainment, and not to gratuitously plug the website for our Manly Man segment, but yesterday I had this video of a guy taking a bath in Mentos.
Yes, you did. That was great.
And I'm thinking to myself,
this is the best thing you've had on the web in a while. I liked it.
Is this what the young people have come up to? By the way, you go to our website, slider 2, should SNL make fun of ISIS? Let's ask Dave Burnett. Vote now. Was the SNL ISIS skit funny, offensive, patriotic, right on the money, right off the cliff. Dave Burnett, you tell me, and I will click your vote.
Now, what's my choices again?
Funny.
No.
Offensive.
Yeah, okay.
Patriotic.
No.
Right on the money.
No.
Right off the cliff.
Right off the cliff.
Okay, right off the cliff, and we vote here. Folks, this is what we call interactive. Offensive, 40%. 20% say funny. 20% right say right on the money. And 20% say right off the cliff. By the way, 0% saying patriotic. Right now, we'll be having that for you all morning long.
That's not patriotic. How could it be patriotic?
Because you're sticking it to ISIS.
See, the thing is, it didn't. Again, and I'll go back to what I said yesterday, it made the dad in the commercial look like the idiot, not ISIS.
Well, of course, because...
It didn't stick it to ISIS.
Now, I'm not saying this as a person. I'm saying this what the press wants you to... Because dads are idiots. You know, when's the last time you had a good dad like Bill Cosby on?
Ward Cleaver was a great dad.
Look at Mr. C, Mr. Cunningham.
Mm-hmm.
Look what happened to poor Bill Cosby.
Got him.
They got Bill. All right, to other big news of the day here at 580KIDO. Before I hog the segment, what do you got?
You know, the thing that story that fascinated me was out of North Carolina. And the fact that somebody stole a semi-truck full of gold. Worth millions of dollars.
That was in North Carolina?
Yeah.
Where did they? Charlotte, was it?
I would tell you right now, but my computer, I tried going to a website and it's all locked up.
You, hold on. How many times have we told you?
Don't use my computer.
You do not go to websites on your computer.
I know.
Well, you know, a lot of people may not know this, but Charlotte is like second or third banking capital of the country, I think.
Yeah.
A lot of banks.
And again, it brings up a question I've had before, and I've never really gotten a good answer. Let's say, you know, you have all of these different places that accepts gold, you know, they're, you know, cashing your gold jewelry, and then they melt it down. And I know there's a place in Nampa that stores it and melts it down. Can't tell you where it's at.
Oh, I think
it's highly guarded.
I think you told me that.
Yeah. But my question is, once they melt down gold, who do they sell that to? That truck full of gold, where was it going, and who do they sell it to? Is it sold to the Russians, to the Chinese?
There was a story in my new favorite magazine, Bloomberg Business Week. And you might think Bloomberg Business Week is kind of hoity-toity, but actually, that and Adweek, I'm reading Adweek just to figure out how people market their messages. Because gosh knows we need to work on the message in this program.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for the quick agreement there.
No, I'm with you.
With you. So they said that if you went to like one of these gold places and said, hey, I want my gold, chances are they don't have all the gold that they advertise that's there. I didn't read the story per se, but it's not like you can go to the gold bank and withdraw your bars of gold.
That's why they've always said, and by the way, take no financial advice from Kevin or I, but that's why they always say if you're dealing in buying gold, you want the actual gold in hand. You don't want certificates.
Yeah.
You're going to wind up with certificates, so you want gold in hand.
Although we could go into the, we'll send you a certificate.
Yeah, we will.
Send us your gold. We'll send you.
That'd be fantastic. Send us your money, and we'll send you a certificate saying you have this much gold. But that's a big question I have. You know, if I go down to, you know, Dottie's Jewelry and I sell them my gold, where does that gold go? Who do they sell it to, and who ultimately buys it? I don't think it's the U.S. government investing in gold. Is it bought by the Chinese and by the Russians?
Well.
By ISIS? Who's buying it?
Ooh, that's a territory there. You're starting to be a ha-ha.
How am I being a ha-ha?
Jokey joke.
That wasn't a joke. I was dead serious.
ISIS would buy the gold?
Sure. Investing in gold.
I love getting Petso on that. He just loses his mind about investing in gold.
So my question is, who's buying all that gold? There's a big truckload of gold that's been stolen. Millions of dollars in North Carolina.
Yep.
And my question isn't so much who stole it, because I could get that. Somebody goes, I'm going to steal that. But my question is, where was that truck going? I don't think it was driving to Fort Knox.
Yeah, a lot of people, including Alex Jones, believes that there's no gold in Fort Knox.
Yeah.
Did you ever watch that show with Brad Metzler, Decoded, I think it was called?
No.
And he would, like, his whole thing, and it was all just hype, and we're going to go to Fort Knox and find the gold. And half of it was the history of Fort Knox, and then they'd have some guy being a kook. Now, you can't get to Fort Knox. Heck, even if you're on Fort Knox, which in another life many years ago, actually last century, I was stationed at Fort Knox as a young basic training guy.
Any gold?
No, I mean, and you have a secure military facility, which is huge. And then within that facility, you have a huge fenced-in area, which is where they allegedly keep the gold. And it's kind of like, you know, one of these big famous people. They have this huge fence, and you can see the house way in the distance. So, you know, it's kind of like when you go to Fort Bragg and you go, hey, I'd like to see the fence around the field, which is where they house the Delta Force that doesn't exist.
Area 51.
Yeah. And have you been around there? I hear that's just a big drive around a big fence.
Area 51?
Yeah.
Yep. They don't let you see anything out there.
You now.
But you approach that fence, somebody comes and sees
you. Are you a rule breaker?
No.
You're a rebel.
No, I follow all the rules.
Before you were a police officer, Kevin, I was never a police officer. This is for entertainment purposes only, folks, so don't believe a word I'm saying. You know, have you often wondered, like, let's say you walked up to the fence and you jumped over it, how many years you'd get for that?
If you got years.
Area 51.
They might just take you out.
For going over a fence.
I'm just telling you, you approach it, you get approached very rapidly.
That's what happened to Brad Meltzer in Dakota. Of course, he never did it. He sent his three teams of slappies, and they always got it.
And it doesn't take Area 51. Why don't you go visit the INL and jump the fence, see what happens.
Dude, did you know the thing in California, the Grove or whatever? They got arrested there.
Yeah. So.
And Alex Jones was in his canoe, in his kayak, going, get out of here! Cut, go!
Kevin, your traffic now as you're coming out of Canyon County. And